Kim, thanks so much. Part two of our show. It's Bill and Wendy. I would suggest right now that you all put your seatbelts on for the feel-good comedy of one Mr. Bobby Slayton. Hello, Bobby.
Hi. You know, you should always have me on longer than you do because I listen to your show. I mean, Bernie Sanders was great. That was a coup for you guys. But the show is like, you know, you should, anyway, I'm wasting time already. But you asked me what I had in the bag. I went to Nordstrom's.
Yes.
I bought myself Psycho Bunny t-shirts to cook in and loungewear. Do you know Psycho Bunny?
I'm not sure
you
what that
look
is.
Like a Psycho Bunny kind of
what
guy.
Is that?
It's a brand. It's Psycho Bunny. And I have
Bunny or Buddy?
Psycho Bunny.
Bunny.
You never saw it? It's a great, it's a, well,
let's see.
I'll
can we take
right.
a look? Put something on.
I love a man who shops. God, yeah. I love a man who
Bobby's
shops.
Bobby's a shopper.
It's
comedian
Psycho
slash
Bunny.
Shopper.
It's just like, you know, sleepwear
yeah.
with skeleton buddies.
Oh, that looks comfortable.
Yeah, very comfortable.
You look good in
Psycho
that.
Bunny. Yeah, because you know what? You know what Christmas should be, really? Except for the children, where you buy the children presents.
Yes.
What Christmas should be is, instead of going around, you know, they got me something last year, and how much did they spend on me? I'm going to pretend I like this, and I'm going to return that. I already have one of these. I hate this thing. If everybody would just buy something for themselves,
yes.
not buy anything for anybody else. I hate getting gifts because, you know, opening it up, they're pretending you like it. And if I really wanted this, I would have had it in the first place.
No, yes.
It's just a pain.
So you say restructure Christmas so that you don't buy gifts for others. You only get gifts for yourself.
Everybody buys something
right.
for themselves. That way you get what you want. You're not returning it. Everything works out fine. Anyway, it's nice to be here. Nice to be back in Chicago. I'll be at Zany's Comedy Club tonight downtown. And Friday, Saturday at Rosemont. You know, it doesn't matter how well my career goes.
Yeah.
It really hasn't gone that well over the years. But every time I get something, I wind up back at Zany's. Remember the first time I did the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson?
Yeah.
Like a week later, I'm back at Zany's. I just did a Woody Allen project. I worked on Woody
Allen.
Yeah, movie.
How's that going?
It's good. I did a movie for him and I was on his Amazon series and then went back up at Zany's. It's like the Blair Witch Project. It doesn't matter how far I wander into the comedy woods,
yeah.
into the entertainment forest, I wind up back
Zany's
at Zany's.
Is there for you. Can I ask a favor?
Yeah.
Talk about Woody Allen, because not only did you do a project with Woody Allen, but you've become you're a friend of Woody Allen's.
Yes,
aren't
I am. You want to drop names for me? That way I don't have to do it. I'm friends with a lot of people.
Yep. What's that like to be friends with Woody Allen?
Well, you know, I don't have his home number. I don't really call him and go, hey, you want to go to the basketball game? But
you've had dinners with him?
Yeah, a lot of dinners. Well, a friend of mine, you know, is a friend of Woody's, and he invited me over to his house one time, and I was in L.A., and he said, you know, Woody's a fan of yours. You want to come out to have dinner next weekend with him? And I've been traveling a lot doing stand-up all over the country, and I said to my wife, do I really want to go all the way to New York for a weekend to have dinner with Woody Allen? She goes, what are you insane? And I called up a few comics, Dana Carvey, and they go, yeah, we can have dinner with Woody Allen. And, you know, a lot of comics, a lot of people in showbiz, I mean, everybody wants to work for the guy.
Sure.
And everybody gets paid scale. Everybody, it's not about money. I mean, I get paid the same thing Kate Blanchett gets paid, the same as Kate Winslet in the new movie I just did with him gets paid. You know, he pays scale, you know, the lowest he could possibly pay, and, you know, does whatever this, you know, Screen Actors Guild, things are that he needs to do, fly you in, put you up. But people in showbiz, when Woody Allen calls, they go running. They don't ask, what is it? How
right.
much is it?
Right.
It's just a chance to work with one of the greatest directors, certainly most prolific director in the last 20, 30 years, you know?
Is he funny, though, when he doesn't have to be funny? When he's just hanging out, he's funny.
Well, he's a very quiet guy, you know? And I think the more I've gotten to know him over the years, you know, and if he's friends with you, but he's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those people like Warren Beatty that just, I think, just says what he says, but he doesn't talk a lot,
right,
you know?
Right.
And at the dinners, he's more entertained by all the comedians that I brought over to my friend's house. And, you know, I mean, at the first dinner we had, it was just Woody and his wife and me and my friend whose house, the host of the party, and it wasn't really a party, but I make sure not to talk about his movies. I make sure to do some research. I started doing stand-up in San Francisco in the 70s, and even though he's from New York, he played there a lot in the 60s. We had a lot of mutual friends. The Smothered Brothers or, you know, Mort Saul and Enrico Banducci had the Hungry Eyes. So we had a lot to talk about. And he loves talking about comedy with comedians. So, you know, the next dinner we had, I brought over Louis Black and David Brenner. This was a few years ago because David's gone now.
Yeah.
And Woody brought over Dick Cavett. And then in the middle of
look
dinner.
Look at this group.
Yeah, this is a
nice
dinner.
And then David Blaine shows up.
Oh, my God. For what reason?
Because David Blaine's friends with them. You know, Woody and Cavett were amateur magicians. So
right.
was Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
You know, early on in their careers. So, and he was friends with these guys. So David came at the end of dinner. And after dinner, says, anybody want to see some card tricks? And Blaine had this beautiful sleight of hand. And it was just great. And to shut the four of us up, five of us up, to shut up Louis Black and me and Brenner, you know, and even Cavett, you know you got to be good. But for 45 minutes, we're like little kids watching them.
All right. Now, I know this is a sensitive question, but I will ask it anyway.
Yeah.
There have been some allegations with Woody, some personal allegations.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bring that up in any way, shape, or form with him.
Why
can
would you?
Does that make you uncomfortable, though, when you hear stories about?
Well, I don't believe any of it. To be honest,
you don't believe any of it.
No,
no,
because I know the man, and I know. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I don't think he's that person. And I know Mia Farrow's a nut from everybody that's ever met her or talked to her. And I really think she put that in the kids' heads. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think Donald Trump is in the next Hitler. But that's just my opinion. I mean, it looks beautiful outside.
Isn't
Global warming might be a terrific thing. I think next year when I come back, if President Trump has his way, I'll be back in November in shorts. And the year after that, I'm going to come back with a T-shirt and polar bear. We'll be on fire and swimming in molten lava. It can be terrific.
Look at the audience you attract, by the way, Bobby Slayton.
Yeah, I wish you could hear me. Now, kids, you know what? I didn't go to college. I work an hour a night. It's a whole schoolroom full of children. You have no future.
They love you.
They can hear you, by the way.
And they're all laughing, but they can't hear me.
Do the Hunts Hall impression for the kids.
They don't know who's
the
in charge of America. They don't know what's going on in the Middle East.
The kids want to hear the Hunts Hall.
The Jews, you know, with the gun laws. The kids, it's a horrible world we live in.
You know they can hear you. I swear to God.
Can they?
Yes. Does that change anything? Boy, I just shut Bobby Slayton up. Did you see that?
Well, there's like so much I can say because I'm on the radio.
I know. So you had some good things happen, and you had a bad thing happen this year as well.
Yeah, you heard about that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a tremendous. Well, it's more than that. I mean, you know, my wife of 30 years died. She was hit by a car in Mexico by an insured driver from the States, of all things. You know, in L.A., she would have been hit by Mexico with no insurance. But in Mexico, is an expat, and she broke her hip, and she died in a hospital in California.
Oh, no.
Who killed her? Total negligence, pneumonia and sepsis. Same thing that killed Patty Duke. We're suing the hospital.
I am so sorry.
Oh, Bobby, this is terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, I'm not trying to. Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, it's awful. But about a week before she died, I was going to New York to do Woody Allen's TV show, the Amazon series he did with Elaine May and Miley Cyrus, which I thought was very funny. I mean, it did get great reviews, but Lewis Black was great. Judy Gold was great. Joy Behar had a small part. But Woody gave me a scene with him, a 7-8 minute scene. That's a long scene. Even my acting coach said, this is hard for a real actor. I know how you're going to do it. Thanks for the vote of confidence. I really appreciate that. But I had 6 weeks to work on the scene, and it was one of the hardest things. And I don't know if it's ADD, if I'm not as bright as I think I am. It was years of smoking pot that maybe I burnt half my brain cells. I don't know what it is, but it took me. I worked on this part every day like I was shooting it the next day. And then my wife died unexpectedly in the hospital, killed her. We are suing for malpractice. We're going to win. They did kill her. It was total negligence. And in California, it's really hard to win. And my lawyer said, well, he's 99.9%. We got it. We have so much proof and medical records. So they killed my wife, pretty much. So right after she died, 5 days later, I'm in New York doing the show for Woody. And he had me come in 3 or 4 days early because they weren't sure what the shooting schedule, when I had to do it. So the exhilaration of being in my hometown and working on a Woody Allen project, and my wife had died a week before. I mean, it was, you know, I'm in New York, which is great. I'm trying to work on the part, and my wife's death was distracting me from the part, and the Woody Allen thing was distracting me from my wife's death.
Yeah.
And I'd be, you know, going to some great restaurants with friends, and then I'd hear a song, and I'd see a storm. My wife loved this, and, you know, so it was the most emotionally draining up and down experience. And then about 2 months ago, I was in New York playing a comedy club. I guess Colin Quinn was supposed to do a couple of big scenes in Woody's new movie that's coming out in the summer with Justin Timberlake and Jim Belushi and Kate Winslet. And I guess he hurt his leg. Colin broke his leg or something playing basketball with Adam Sandler in a movie. So the casting director said to Woody, well, how about Bobby Slayton? Because you loved him on the Amazon show. And maybe they wanted somebody who sounded like Colin Quinn.
Oh, you know? Yeah. A little gravelly.
Well, he sounds like me. I did
right,
this first.
You right. did.
And or maybe they wanted somebody to sound like B. Arthur. Or like a straight Harvey Fierstein. I don't know what they wanted. I didn't ask. But I went to New York and was there for a week doing a few more scenes of Woody Allen's new movie. And I wish I could tell you what it's about, but he doesn't give you the script.
Right.
You just sworn to secrecy. You can't talk about it. And even if I could talk about it, I have no idea what it was about.
All right.
So right before I did Woody's movie, I had spoken last year at a friend's funeral, a very close showbiz friend who I can't mention his name now because I'll tell you in a minute why. But he was a big-time showbiz manager guy, and he was a friend for a long, long time and a really good friend and very close to me, and I spoke at his funeral. And so his wife, his widow, lives in my neighborhood in L.A. And I called her up after my wife died. And I said, you know, I've never met you. She said, well, you met me once. I met her at the service, and I never met her before. I forgot what she looked like. I said, we should meet at the local, there's a jazz restaurant right by our house, right up here in Bel Air. She goes, yeah, I love that place. We should meet for a drink. And we have been madly in love for the last 2 months.
Look at that.
That's so nice. Good.
And she's everything that I wanted. And, you know, so my life, it's weird that my wife
died. What an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, it's been the best year of my life and the worst year of my life. And I'm sure people have had worse years than me and certainly better years. But to have the best year and worst year of your life, well, actually the last 8 months has been two Woody Allen projects, lost my wife, and fell madly in love. And neither of us wanted this, to be honest with you. You know,
it just happened.
It happened, and you know, she got a beautiful home, and I got a beautiful home, and we're not going to live together. And she loves dogs; she hates people. We both want to stay home and eat, sit by the fireplace. You know, and I'll tell you what happened. What good came of my wife's death? The silver lining is I don't have to see her family next week for Thanksgiving.
Oh my God!
I have something to be thankful for. This is the greatest Thanksgiving I've had in 30 years.
Bobby Slayton's here. Boy, is he thankful! It has been a roller coaster ride.
Crazy.
Go see Bobby at Zanies. Zanies.com has the entire schedule of where he's going to be this weekend, and we'll tell you more specifically next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
No,
you're not done.
You're
not done. Bobby Slayton's here. He is the Pitbull of comedy, I tell you. You can go see him tonight at Zanies in Chicago. You can go see him all the way through, let's see.
Well, Rosemont Friday, Saturday.
Rosemont Friday and
only
Saturday.
Only one show a night.
Usually
I do two, but Richard Lewis was supposed to do this week, and he just got booked again on the new season of Curb.
Oh.
So Richard canceled. I stepped in. And you know, I mean, I've been coming here. This has always been my week, the week before Thanksgiving, and they gave it to Richard, which is fine.
Yeah.
But and it's the last week I'm working for 6 weeks. I've never had 6 weeks off in my life. And every year I come here, I'm usually out there walking around. I love to walk.
Yeah.
In my Skechers, by the
way. I know. I was going to ask if you had your Skechers on.
I've always had my Skechers on. I told you last time I was here that they gave me coupons. I meant to bring you coupons for free Skechers. I walk and I walk this town for hours. I feel like I'm walking on air in my Skechers. They should give me another case of shoes. No, they really are the best.
Well, but you had the light-up ones, right?
I had the light-up ones. They made a special pair for me. That the children's shoe, because my wife got those made up for me. My late wife, I should say. And by the way, that's made for you. Can you just shut up for 1 minute?
Sure.
You have like four hours to talk.
Please,
right?
Go ahead.
You have a guest for 20 minutes. You can't let anybody talk. It's all about you. But God, just do the eye commercials. Okay. Anyway, so you know, it was really tough.
It was
writing. You know, changing my act around after my wife passed away, I didn't want to wind up like Vaughn Meader. And for anybody under 60 that's listening to the show, you know, Vaughn Meader, when Kennedy was assassinated in 63, you know, which is a little bit before my time. I mean, I remember it, but, you know, he made his whole career. That one album was like Meet the Beatles of
First
comedy.
First Family.
You know, about the First Family and doing impressions of him. And I right after, you know, the Kennedy assassination, they pulled the record, the sales stopped, and Lenny Bruce went on stage that night, and I'm paraphrasing, that Vaughn Meader's career is over. So I really thought that when my wife died, since she was 70-80% of my act, that my career, I you know, I have enough stuff. There's other people that I hated more than my wife. I mean, there's still the gays and the Mexicans and the Arabs, and I mean, there's a million people that I can make fun of who I've never got along with. But my act focused on my wife, so I've kept a lot of the jokes, but I really had to take a lot of the jokes out, which just made me write new stuff.
Do you mention on stage what you've gone through with your wife? Does that come
up?
You do.
I make sure towards the end, and I've got 5-10 minutes of material on it. And there's a new Showtime special that we taped up in Montreal about four comedians, and we did a thing called The Nasty Show. And, you know, it's not necessarily dirty or blue, but it is, and it's as nasty as you can get. And I thought this would be a great place to debut the wife jokes, the dead wife jokes. Because if you can't do it at The Nasty Show on Showtime, where can you do it? Stuff went over great. And I don't look forward to talking about it on stage, but you got to address the elephant in the room, you know?
If
a one-armed comic goes up there, a blind comic, you know, you got to address the fact. It's something that I live with, and it won't ring true if I got up on stage and just talk about my wife and not talk about the fact that she passed away.
Right.
So it's been really the toughest thing in my life to have to rewrite material and to do that Woody Allen thing. And, of course, dealing with my daughter and her mom's death, and you know, but there's people listening who've gone through worse stuff, and people go through this every day.
And life goes on after that.
Yeah,
and I don't mean to sound cold, but it does.
It goes on.
It has to.
You know, right after she died, we had her cremated, and we instead I didn't want to have a funeral. I thought it'd be maudlin and stupid, and you know, and we just had a big celebration party at the house, and my wife did an amazing job with my home. I have one of the coolest houses, not a big house, but what a style. and what taste. And there were a couple of things. I didn't turn it into a man cave, but there was a couple. I said to my daughter, when mommy was alive, I hated this painting. Either you take it, give it to a friend, or it's going to the Salvation Army or Goodwill. I don't want this in my house. I mean, I got to say, when my wife died, one of the first things I thought about was a painting over the fireplace. We're going to go. I mean, I thought about all the... And no Thanksgiving. I try to focus on the positive.
Yeah, sure.
In my life. And I didn't expect to fall in love. And I'll tell you the one great, great thing, you know, that did help a lot. When my wife died, my agent called my manager and said, how's Bobby doing for money? And my manager said, Bobby's never done well for money. And I've always pissed it away. I've always, you know, taken my opening acts out to eat. And I mean, I've been... I really, you know, bought, you know, like some kind of, you know, boxer where you buy a Rolls Royce with gold license, you know, gold wheel hubcaps. Yeah. But, you know, I would spend money because money's to spend. And I learned a lesson a couple of years ago when I had a $1 million contract in Hooters and pissed it all away. But anyway, the thing was, I really have not saved a lot of money. And so they did a big benefit to raise money to pay my wife's hospital bills in case healthcare didn't cover it. And within an hour, they had Ray Romano, my favorite comic, I think Bill Burr and Louis Anderson and Brian Regan flew in from Vegas.
Oh, nice.
And Dana Carvey, Arsenio Hall hosted it. Oh. You know, Louis Anderson, Bob Saget, John Lovitz. I mean, they all did this big benefit to raise money. And it just showed me that, you know, and then Leno called and Howie Mandel said I would have done it. And it was just really nice that the comedy community.
That is nice.
I don't know if they would have done that for Carrot Top or for you when you were doing stand-up, but they did it for me. That's all I care about. I don't mean to put you in the same category as Carrot Top. I don't.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a slam. Are you going to have the Carrot Top. Are you going to have a traditional Thanksgiving? Do you partake in the turkey and all the accoutrement?
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my favorite holiday. Bill doesn't like it.
What I'm going to do is get those, for all my guests, those turkey sandwiches from Firehouse.
We're going to eat
that's what a nice tie-in.
We're going to heat them up.
Are you going to wear your Skechers while you're doing that?
I'm going to wear my little prizes in there. And I might even stick a wishbone in for the kids, you know?
Wishbone dressing on the salad.
There you go. But that's Firehouse subs for Thanksgiving. I know they're a new sponsor. That's terrific. Yeah, I might walk over there in my Skechers.
You should go over. Tell me.
I think they're in Schaumburg. I'm going to walk in these shoes. To take me there. No blisters on my feet. I have my Skechers. Everybody's happy now. Well, everybody's got a plug. Am I a whore? I'm such a whore.
You're not.
You are.
No, I'm actually, what's really strange is I'm going to go to my girlfriend's house. I just met her mother. And
how'd that go? Weird?
No, it's great. I mean, the whole thing is weird.
Sure
you
it
know?
Is.
And just to be living in a house by myself, you know, after 30 years, and now without my wife there, I don't know when the air conditioning's on too high, and I don't know when the music's too loud. I don't know when I've had too much garlic. I don't know when I've had too much wine. I don't know when I'm driving too fast. As a widower, my life's spinning out of control. Keith Richards called me up. He's worried about me and my crazy lifestyle. So I've been nuts. I'm adjusting. I'm trying not to let things get too out of hand.
You'll make it. You're smart enough.
Trying.
You're going to be fine.
I'm trying.
You really will.
Yeah. I have to call my wife's friends and go, is the TV on too loud? You got to come over and help me before I blow out my eardrums. Is the air conditioning on too loud? I don't want to get pneumonia. So I'm learning to adjust to a different life.
Good, good. That's very good.
Yeah.
Go see Bobby Slayton. He's at Zanies all this week. Zanies.com has his complete schedule. Wear the Skechers. It'll make him smile.
Yeah.
He needs to smile.
I need to smile more.
It's
nice
great to see you, Bobby.
Man.
It's great to see you guys. And hopefully I'll see you next year. And
if I promise.
Warming, I'll see you. I'll be wearing shorts. I have a better tan. This is terrific weather. I love Chicago.
It's pretty great.
Kind of town.
That's Bobby Slayton. He's the Pitbull of comedy. Now you know why. Stick around. More show coming. Bill and Wendy, WGN.